Convene the conference committee, and I apologize to those of you that are waiting, but to get the articles from the revisor's office and printed took a little longer than we thought, but we now have both the articles that we'll be adopting tonight, and then we'll be taking up a couple of amendments after we adopt the articles. We will start with the walk through the spreadsheet. Yes. So if the fiscal analysts could come forward and walk us through the spreadsheet for the article. Mr. Mueller and Ms. Hendricks, I'm not sure which of you is going to start, but Ms. Hendricks, okay.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll start with a walk through the spreadsheet. You should all have that in front of you. I first want to point out the last lines on the spreadsheet. So those are lines 82 and 83. There you'll see the, particularly 83, the total general fund impact. All the way in the last columns under conference agreement under fiscal year 14-15, the total general fund impact is $19,875,000 and $1,750,000, $1,750,000 in the tails. So starting on the front of the spreadsheet, so look all the way to the right columns on the conference agreements. I'll just quickly walk through. If there are specific questions, we're happy to answer those. Broadband development grant program, $20 million, one-time appropriation, then a set of six appropriations, one-time appropriations to initiative foundations of $475,000, $650,000 to the Urban Initiative Board, $500,000 to the Small Business Development Center program, $400,000 to the Innovation Voucher Pilot Program, $475,000 to Job School Partnership, $2.2 million to Business Development Grant Program, and $150,000 to City of Proctor. Those are all general fund appropriations. Below that, there is a series of workforce development fund appropriations. The first one, $300,000 to DEED workforce program outcome activities, and three $250,000 appropriations to new Northwest Indian OIC, Northeast Minnesota Office of Jobs and Training, Twin Cities Rise. And then two more appropriations in vocational rehabilitation, $250,000 from the Workforce Development Fund for extended employment for people with disabilities, and $450,000 from the General Fund for the Minnesota Centers for Independent Living. That brings, there's a final appropriation to the, under General Support Services, the Olmsted Implementation, $500,000 in fiscal 15, and that is the only appropriation that has tails of $875,000 fiscal year 16 and 17 each. So that brings for DEED the total to general fund appropriations, $28,175,000 and $1,300,000 from the Workforce Development Fund. On the next page, we have two appropriations to DALI. The first one for comedy standards development, $250,000 from the general fund. There's $100,000 appropriations from the general fund for high-pressure boiler rulemaking. That appropriation is carried in another bill, currently House File 2065. Then there is a reduction in a fiscal 14 appropriation to Commerce Department for gold bullion dealer registration, and a $400,000 that is a statutory appropriation to the statewide uniform system for CIP. That also shows up on the bottom line 78 as a revenue If there's questions, we're happy to answer that. There's two carve-out appropriations that are agreed upon for Explore Minnesota Tourism, one for Relax and one for additional marketing activities. The net impact here is zero for Explore Minnesota Tourism because that comes from undesignated grant funds. And then an appropriation of $2.2 million under the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency from the general fund for that should be updated to be a grant program rather than that it's under the Housing Challenge program. So. And then finally, a carve-out in fiscal year 14 appropriation to the Housing Challenge Program for homeownership opportunities for families with a disabled child. That is all the appropriations. Then there's total appropriations by fund that I think you can look through, $30.725 million from general fund, $1.3 million once again from workforce development fund, and that $400 from the special revenue fund from commerce. And finally, on the revenue side, there's a transfer from the assigned risk account of $10.5 million. And here you see the $400 million showing up from the commerce appropriation as revenue. And again, that brings us to a total general fund impact for fiscal year 14-15 of $19.875 million.
Mr. Chairman, when there's enough copies of the appropriation article and everyone has that, I'll go through that part. But I think we might jump to the policy article now because I think most people have copies of that.
Okay. We don't have the appropriation article yet. It's not printed. Okay. Do we have any idea?
Did Tony give you?
It's coming. Okay. The appropriation article is being printed.
Mr. Chair, members, if I think you all have copies of Article 4. Would you like us to go through the language?
I've got an Article 3 here. I don't see an Article 4.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I have an Article 4. Do all members have Article 4?
I believe so, Mr.
Okay,
Chair.
Okay, so that's the one we're going to take first.
This is the language
of the appropriations. Article is
yes,
on the way.
That's correct. This is the Article 4 job.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'd move adoption of Article 4.
The motion is before us if you want to walk us through the article.
Okay, Mr. Chair and members of the conference committee. Section 1 goes with a couple of other sections in the bill. This is actually a Data Practices Act cross-reference for the energy usage data that's going to be collected when they make the loans for the Community Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy Loan Program. And I'll point out the other sections as we go through the bill. And the second section is broadband. And this would go with the grant program for broadband. The definitions and sections have been worked on a little bit with the various interested stakeholders. So the first section provides definitions. Then section 3 on page 2 discusses the border-to-border broadband development grant program. On page 3, there's some has application contents awarding grants to the underserved and unserved areas. And then on page 4, there is a some language in there on subdivision 7 on the limitation stating that the no grant awarded may be more than 50% of the total project cost, and then grants awarded to any single project cannot exceed $5 million. In section 4, it establishes the account and other information for the border-to-border broadband fund. On page 4 as well, in section 5, This was already a provision that was adopted. This, or this was not adopted. This is actually some new language that expands the use of the minerals, Minnesota Minerals 21st Century Fund. And this would allow for the project, that the proposed project, to go forward for the manufacturing of renewable energy products that I believe Senator Tomasoni discussed with the committee at an earlier time. On page 5, section 6, this section was also discussed earlier, and in a previous format, it would have in this format now, it kind of, it changes it back, leaves the language the same. Instead, it allows a local community for a MIF grant when it's repaid to the local community or recognized Indian tribal government. They would be able to retain up to 40% of the repaid loan, but not more than $100,000. And this came about as a compromise with deed to the other proposed format that was in the original bill as it came into conference.
Mr. Chair and members, on page 5, beginning with section 7 and going through pages 6, 7, and 8, is the workforce program outcomes. And this sets up two changes. It requires a, or provides for a uniform outcome report card for workforce programs that are funded through the Department of Employment and Economic Development, and requires the reporting of information about participants, about wages, about enrollment in, or holding a job as a result of the program out a certain number of quarters. Median wages requires reporting to the legislature. It requires in subdivision 7 a workforce program net impact analysis, and this has scaled back considerably from the original House language and would apply to the programs that are in an initiative that's running currently through the Governor's Workforce Development Council, but on a pilot basis, and this would continue the reporting under that. And it requires the reporting of data to the commissioner, and it does have some restrictions on the ability of future appropriations to organizations that do not comply with the data reporting requirements. Page 8, section 8, is language that the conference committee adopted earlier. This is authorizing the commissioner of the Bureau of Mediation Services to accept certain payments for the purposes of the dispute resolution office that was enacted last year.
Continuing, Mr. Chair, and members of the conference committee, on bottom of page 8, section 9, this section was also adopted earlier, and this would allow some exemptions, the commissioner to grant exemptions for the approved training programs, and this is under the child labor statute. It's similar to other babysitters and newspaper carriers that can grant exemptions. Section 10 on page 9 is part, there's two parts to this. There's one later in the bill. This allows for the conservation improvement program to increase the assessment and then use $400,000 of that assessment annually for the purpose of developing and operating, maintaining, and providing technical support for a uniform electronic data reporting and tracking system. On page 10, section 11, and then for the next pages until 15, I believe, these are sections that make some changes and to the program for this Community Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy Loan Program. And then this takes some of the language that was, incorporates some of the House language to add the definition for healthcare facilities and the definition for small businesses that would qualify or be able to apply for the loans. Also, then moving over to page 11, for the under loan purposes, it on page 11 in paragraph C on line 11.5, this discusses when the applicant makes the loan application, the Commissioner of Commerce may collect some information on the energy usage data for the loan applicant, and it just, this is relating to that earlier Data Practices Act cross-reference, and it classifies this data as non-public data. On page 12, in section 12, this talks about the loan revenue bonds, and it incorporates some suggestions from MMB on provisions that are similar to the revenue bonds provisions that were for the stadium bill. So those have been incorporated here. That continues 13 to 14 and 15 at the top. Those are more provisions that are similar to what was included with the stadium revenue bonds provisions. On page 15, section 13, again, we're taking a deed recommendation. They suggested that one of the changes that was made earlier on line 15.17, it had been changed from community to supported employment. And now it's now left as community employment. However, on 15.21, the change is still here regarding the benefit packages being available to all employees at the specified site of the affirmative business enterprise. Section 14, this is the grant program for employment services for persons who are deaf, deafblind, or hard of hearing. And there is no appropriation in the bill for this grant program. However, the House had, and we took this language from what the House had done on page 16, lines 16.22 to 16.23, that says that this section is effective only upon enactment of a direct appropriation for the grants under this section. And earlier there had been a TALES issue, so this will help deal with that TALES issue, so there won't be any TALES for this section. Section 15 on page 16, that was already adopted as well, and that is just removing the requirement that some projects be for where one or more municipalities cooperate, and then also gets rid of the reporting requirement that went along with that requirements. Section 17 are technical changes to the, or page 17, section 16 are technical changes to the 2016 distribution, and the on page 18, that effective date was changed earlier, and so that is correct at this point. Section 17 on page 18, this is the 2014 distribution, and a few changes were made here that are consistent with what is in the tax bill, and a couple of projects were added and some adjustments made to the cents per ton, but otherwise it is the same as what is in the tax bill. On page 19 at the bottom on section 18, this relates back to the SIP electronic data reporting and just allows the Commissioner of Commerce to utilize a stakeholder group to monitor the development of the systems for electronic data reporting and tracking of the SIP program. And then section 19 was a House program I'm not familiar with.
Mr. Chair, on page 20, section 19 is the Innovation Voucher Pilot Program. There is an appropriation for this in the appropriation article. It's to provide financing to small businesses to enable them to purchase technical assistance and services to help them in the development and commercialization of innovative products and services. And some of those are the research, technical development, product development, commercialization, market development, technology exploration, et cetera. There is in the appropriation article a requirement that there is a 50-50 match in order to get the grant funds, and there is a restriction at the bottom of page 20 that a voucher award cannot exceed $25,000 per business. Section 20 on page 21, it relates back to this workforce accountability, and this directs the Commissioner of Deed to report to the committees on plans for their workforce accountability, their program accountability.
Yes. On page 21, section 21, this provision is for the competency standards that the Commissioner of Labor and Industry, in collaboration with the Deed Commissioner of Deed, will help to establish these competency standards in advanced manufacturing, healthcare service and services, information technology, and agriculture. And this was largely the language as it came from the Senate. And then finally, on page 22, section 22, this repealer also relates to the workforce accountability from the workforce development programs or organization
program accountabilities.
Yes, that's correct. And this just gets rid of conflicting reporting that would conflict with the new scheme of getting the accountability. And that's this article.
Okay, any discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Or Senator Thomas-Tone.
Mr. Chairman, first I should just thank all the staff for all the hard work and putting up with Representative Mahoney and myself. And thank you for all the work you've done. You guys really earn your money this time of year. And I'm beginning to believe we're underpaid also. But I guess that's a discussion for an amendment on the Constitution. But anyway, Mr. Chairman, I just want to point out what I understand to be the legislative intent, I think, of the awarding of the grants on the broadband. And I know that while we didn't have this provision in the Senate, so we didn't have the discussion, it's my understanding that there's two definitions of served, and one is unserved and one is underserved. And the particular paragraph of subdivision 6 on line 3.15 that says the commissioners shall give priority to applications that are constructed in areas identified by the director of the Office of Broadband Development as unserved. My understanding of that means that the unserved area should get priority over the underserved area. And while the commissioner may give applications to the underserved area, I think the intent of this is to make sure that we get the broadband out to the unserved area and make sure that everybody in the state of Minnesota has access to broadband, as opposed to giving more and more to places that already have it. And so I think that that's my understanding of what that means. I think that's what the legislative intent is. And someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what I understood this to be.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you. And I also would like to thank the staff. We had them running regularly and sitting. They got a day, an evening to sit in the House chairs getting all sorts of work done, which is not normally where we get this done. So odd places to work, but the work product is good. And on the broadband, I think Thomasoni is in principle correct, but the wording and the crafting of the words is to give as much flexibility. So if there is a good opportunity, the commissioner is not hamstrung and not able to take advantage of expanding broadband across the state wherever it is possible to serve the unserved or the underserved. So I think in principle and your understanding is on track, but we are still giving the commissioner as much flexibility as possible. And I want to, you know, I carried the accountability standards in this particular bill, and one of the things I'm proudest about, we will actually start to understand and have really good, hard data that is simple for everyday Minnesotans to understand on how our workforce is producing and whether it's actually doing the job it says it's doing. So very happy to get this bill before us and done, moved on to the floor.
Mr. Chairman, there was an issue I wanted to raise for the vote. Obviously, the conference committee remains open, so maybe we can take. I don't see the lieutenant governor here, but.
Well, she was here, Senator Juan, earlier, yeah. And I thought she wanted to make some comments relative to this section, but we'll be back in the morning, so maybe she can do it at that point.
Well, and we still have the appropriations article, so.
Or maybe she's still somewhere in the building.
We we're going to check. But, okay. Mr. Chairman, to at least get what we have taken care of, I would renew my motion that Article 4, the Jobs, Economic Development, Energy and Labor article, be recommended to be part of the conference committee report with the additional directive that staff be allowed to make any necessary technical or conforming changes. And I renew my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
We now have the appropriation article. Has that been distributed now?
Try to keep it simple.
Mr. Mueller's hand went up, so I think you were the one that was going to start taking
this. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'll start.
Motion. Mr. Chairman, I'd move adoption of Article 3, the appropriations section for the economic development bill.
Mr. Chairman, I'll do a quick walkthrough of Article 3. Again, this reflects the appropriations that are carried in the spreadsheet, and there's some other language that we'll talk about. This contains all the appropriations that the House had some of these in separate articles, but we've combined all the appropriations for commerce, economic development, and housing into one article. The first page are just the totals for the Department of Economic Development. Second page, lines 2.6 is the $20 million appropriation for the broadband. And there's some language here makes the money available until June 30th, 2017. There's a 3% available for one or more contracts with the independent organization. Deployment, the data from the Minnesota providers. And again, this is additional language to what was in the policy article. And that goes on through lines 3.9. Lines 3.10 starts the individual appropriations to the different six different initiative foundations, each getting $475,000, a general fund. So that goes through page 4, line 10. Then you get the Urban Initiative Board on 4.11 with $650,000, and that is being split between the Dakota Ramsey in Washington and then also between the Anoka, Carver, and Hennepin and Scott County. Lines 4.25 is the $500,000 for the Small Business Development Centers. Next we have on lines 5.4 is the $400,000 for the Innovation Voucher Pilot Program that was in the House bill. And 5.11, $475,000 for the Minnesota Job Skills Partnership Program. Lines 5.16 is the appropriation for the Minnesota Business Development Infrastructure Grant Program of $2.2 million and is not naming specific cities. 5.24 is the grant to the City of Proctor for the salt storage facility. Subdivision 3 on line 5.32 starts the workforce development. These appropriations are all from the Workforce Development Fund. We have the first one on the top of page, bottom of page 5 and into page 6 for the program outcome activities that we talked about in the policy article. Then we have three $250,000 appropriations to specific grants from Northwest Indian OICs, the Northeast Minnesota Office of Job Training, and then Twin Cities Rise. Under support services, we have the $500,000 for the Olmsted office. Now, this is the only item that has tails of $875,000 per year. Under vocational rehabilitation, line 6.29 is the $250,000 from the Workforce Development Fund for extended employment services. The next we have on page 7 is $450,000 to Minnesota Centers for Independent Living. This is from the general fund. Originally, this came from the Senate out of the Workforce Development Fund, but now we have it out of the general fund. Line 7.6 is a modification of some Senate language that would transfer $7.1 million from the Minerals 21st Century Fund to the IRRRB for a specific grant or forgivable loan to the city of Hoyt Lakes. The Senate originally had some language that was modifying an old previous authority to transfer funds, but this is more specific for a specific project. Section 3 on line 7.19 is the appropriation for the competency standards at Department of Labor and Industry, and that was talked about in the policy article. Section 4 is the savings of the appropriation of the gold bullion through the Department of Commerce for $350,000. Section 5 is Housing Finance Agency. Is the one new appropriation is $2.2 million for up to two grants for housing projects at technical colleges. This was in the Senate bill. Then we get into some sections that are modifying language from previous appropriations. The first one, Section 6, the item of note here is the use of up to 3% of the Minnesota Investment Fund by the department for administrative expenses and technology upgrades. The next change is on page 13, where we adjusted the match for a grant to the city of Morris, and this was in both bills. The next item is on page 14 is a carryover of a fiscal year 14 appropriation to 15 to fiscal year 15. Then again on page 15 is a carry forward for the money for the Alina Health Systems. That was in both bills. Mm-hmm. On page 16 is a report that was in the House bill asking the Housing Finance Agency to make continuous improvements on efforts to reduce racial and ethnic inequalities in home ownership. On page 17 is a carve-out of one of the existing housing challenge appropriations of, this was in the House bill, of $500,000 for special programs for families who have been evicted or been given notice of eviction due to a disabled child in the home. Next one that on page 18 is the carve-out of $100,000 of the Minnesota Board of Explore Minnesota Tourism, the carve-out of $100,000 for the Mille Lacs Board. And this is, again, out of the existing appropriation for the Minnesota Board of Tourism. And then also the $100,000 for additional marketing activities. Section 12 on page 18 and 19 is some flexibility language for the telecommunications for a previous grant that goes to the Legislative Coordinating Commission so they can use it a little bit more broadly. Section 13 is some language that was requested by DEED that came in late. It allows a carry forward of some of their extended employment fiscal year 14 appropriation. So it's just allowing it to be carried forward to the second year of the current biennium. Section 14 is some new language where, and Ms. Newman will help explain part of it here, where we get the transfer from the assigned risk program. There's sort of three different transfers happening over a number of years, but the first one I'll talk about is the $10.5 million that will go into the general fund, and this is only when there is a surplus in the assigned risk plan. For the current year that we're in right now and also the next fiscal year 15. So there's sort of two opportunities to get to this $10.5 million. And I'll turn it over to Ms. Newman to talk about the rest.
And, Mr. Chair, we need to make several technical amendments in this section because there were some typos. So the first one is on page 19, line 26. July 31st needs to be June 30th. And in this particular paragraph, I'll point out that this transfer would occur prior to any transfers that would be made under current law to the general fund. Then in paragraph B, this is a provision that transfers money from the assigned risk plan to the Minnesota Minerals 21st Century Fund over a period of years. It is limited to a maximum of $4,820,000 in any given year. And this expires when the total amount transferred is equal to $24,100,000. And again, on page 19, line 32, there's a technical amendment to strike July 31st and insert June 30th. And this, Mr. Chair and members, this transfer, again, would occur prior to any transfer of money to the general fund, but after the transfer of $10.5 million that is done in 2015 under paragraph A. On page 20, beginning on line 10, paragraph C, here's another technical amendment. July 31st, 2014 needs to be June 30th, 2015. And this, again, is a transfer of assigned risk plan money that's in the excess surplus. It cannot exceed $4,820,000 a year. It's transferred to the general fund and then is appropriated to the Commissioner of Labor and Industry for some work comp system reforms that are addressed in Section 15. This transfer would occur after the transfer of the $10.5 million and after any transfer to the Minnesota Minerals Fund in paragraph B. Then there's another technical amendment on page 20, line 15. After clause 1, before the period, you would insert, but after any transfers authorized in paragraphs A and B. And that just clarifies the order of these transfers. Page 20, line 19, is another transfer for work comp system reform. This would occur in 2016. So the amendment would be on line 19 of page 20, strike July 31st, 2015, and insert June 30th, 2016. And then on page 20, line 26, you would delete 2015 and insert 2016. Then, Mr. Chair and members, on the bottom of page 20 and over to page 21 is the language that sets forth what the money that is transferred from the assigned risk plan to the Commissioner of Labor and Industry via an appropriation from the general fund is to be used for in terms of workers' compensation system reform. And that concludes the transfer sections.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman,
if we shouldn't take those amendments. We're just walking through them.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'd move adoption of the amendments as detailed by Ms. Newman.
Okay, any discussion? discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Mr. Chairman, and then the last section is a housing section that I don't know what you call it. Chair, section
16
is...
That's your Ms. Mullen, right? Okay, thank you.
The housing finance report to the chairs and ranking members of the House and Senate.
You could turn that mic closer to you and...
They would report the draft and final versions of the affordable housing plan, and they would also provide information to both the House and the Senate related to closing racial disparity gaps, which is information that MHFA currently compiles, and they would provide that information to the House and Senate.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chair. There are, this bill was really put together less than a couple of hours ago, maybe 4 hours ago, and I've noticed a couple of things that we missed, and hopefully if we adopt this evening, it's still open tomorrow when we come back for the conference committee, particularly in the broadband. We're pretty restrictive in the use of the administrative money, and it was supposed to be not only for the administration of grants, but the administration of the office also, the 3% use. So, and it was just written pretty restrictively and not quite the way it was both the authors of the House and Senate versions wanted it. So I tried to do it by text to one of our good staff, and I think I made a mistake when I moved that forward to them. So
you're going to have an amendment tomorrow.
I'll have an amendment for that tomorrow.
And Mr. Chairman and staff, it seems to me there's a 21st Century Minerals Fund amendment that's missing also, allowing it to...
Senator, we can't do...
Mr. Chairman, I think that there's a 21st Century Minerals Fund amendment that may not be included in the bill that allows the fund to be used for some other purposes that it's not allowed to be used for now.
No, Mr. Chair, members, I think that is in the policy article. It's on page 4.
Okay.
Of the article 4.
Good then.
Section 5, and it talks about the use of the fund.
I don't know why I would question the staff. I'm sorry.
You're okay.
Yep, I'm okay.
No, Mr. Chair, staff just told me that if it be the pleasure of the committee, we can allow staff to take care of that particular my mistake on earlier. I'd be fine with that, Mr. Chair.
So if Senator Cohen will include that in
his question, Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, and perhaps Senator Cohen might have an answer. And when I was speaking to the Lieutenant Governor, she mentioned two specific things. One of them was about this expedited license for the First Lady. Is that something that we would need to handle before we close this up, or just come back to that then tomorrow? And then I know she also talked about the tails for the Olmstead issue.
Senator, we were trying to find her.
I know.
Mr. Chairman.
She's called the first
Mr. Chairman, yes, the Lieutenant Governor had requested the opportunity to address the conference committee on a couple of issues, one of it which is within the State Department's article, so that's not in front of us right now. The other is related to this article. She apparently had to leave, and so I thought, Mr. Chairman, we could proceed with action on these articles, and again, the articles are open for further amendments, discussion, and she can be here first thing in the morning. We can discuss both those issues with her if that's okay.
And I think one of those sections
cover both.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Representative Murphy, and I think
yes, I was hoping
we were trying to contact her this evening, and we didn't get a hold of her, so
we can try to have her here tomorrow.
Some of her language.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that was my hope that she might be available, as well as Senator Saxhog.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, understanding that, and again, keeping in mind that anything we do relative to the adoption of these articles is subject to any further work by the conference committee. Again, the bill is a total bill. I'd renew my motion that Article 3 be recommended as part of the conference committee report, and that as part of that motion, the staff be allowed to make any technical or conforming changes as deemed necessary by staff.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, just to play it safe, I'd move that the conference committee proceed to the allowed time, adjournment time of 1 a.m. if necessary, so that we can take some of the further amendments this evening.
Okay, that motion is before us, and that takes four votes on both sides, just for information. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I have the university one. So, Mr. Chairman, I would move the A14-1315 amendment. I would ask that it be distributed.
Okay, that motion is before us, and we'll wait a moment for it to be handed out.
Mr. Chairman, this is an amendment that certainly is illustrative of a lot of the mixing and matching that goes on around this place. This is an amendment to the higher education article, which obviously we adopted yesterday. I think probably most members probably are aware of what this is all about, but in an effort to reach an agreement on the capital investment bill, the bonding bill, one of the significant issues that was at play over the period of time of these last couple of weeks was the proposal that was contained in the House bill or the House spreadsheets of a request to appropriate the money for the construction renovation of the Bell Museum at the University of Minnesota. And, Mr. Chairman, it was determined that it was going to be difficult to fit that entire appropriation within the bonding bill. So in agreement with the university, it was determined that the university would provide the bonds for the Bell Museum, but that the legislature would provide the debt service. So this amendment does a couple of things. Section 15 provides $3.5 million added to the base of the University of Minnesota budget, and it would be for this purpose. And Section 16 then requests the Board of Regents to complete the construction and design of the new Bell Natural History Museum and Planetarium, which is on the St. Paul campus. And, Mr. Chairman, I certainly would recommend to the Senate conferees to adopt the amendment. I would note that the champion of this particular request is Representative Hausman, who has spent several years trying to bring this to fruition. So obviously, I'm not going to speak for the House conferees, but I would point out that this was in the House bill, the House capital investment bill, and this is something that Representative Hausman has worked very hard on. So I hope both sides would support the amendment. I'd move the A-14-1315 amendment.
Yeah, and I would encourage support, and I would only footnote as a member of this conference committee that has worked going back, I think Representative Houseman told me, 10 years on the planetarium part of this project, and that person is sitting next to you. So I,
Mr. Nauman?
No, museum and planetarium. That was the planetarium, by the way, was lost when they replaced the. It used to be a part of the Minneapolis Public Library, and when that was removed and a new library was built in downtown Minneapolis, the idea was that a planetarium would be built
for it.
Bell Museum request some time ago, so I would encourage support as well.
And
do we have any questions?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I neglected to add something that's pretty important. This is, if members look at the amendment, this is $3.5 million for fiscal years 2016 to 2041 to support the bonds. And so obviously we've talked about the difficulty with targets for this conference committee, and I do need to point out that this is money that is not from the target of $293 million, or again, we're using less because of money carried in other bills, and some money that was carried on the bottom line, that this is money that's separate from what we have spent within this conference committee. Clearly, in terms of the TALES budget, is money from the existing bottom line money.
110, where it says the University of Minnesota has requested, that's language that we use with the university because of their constitutional autonomy, but the university has agreed to proceed with the project. So, any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Huntley.
Just a word of caution. I've probably spent more time in the Bell Museum than anybody in this room, and the backdrops on most of the displays were done by a person that was born in or grew up in Minnesota and has spent most of his life on the East Coast, and he's a very famous artist, and all the diorama backgrounds were in the Bell Museum were painted by this individual, Francis Jacquez, and just the caution is I've heard from experts on these kinds of facilities that they can't be moved and they will be destroyed. And all those backdrops are, unless somebody's come up with a way to move them, which I don't think anybody has, they will be in danger of being destroyed. I'm just, Mr. Chair.
I hope they're successful.
So do I, because this individual spent most of his time at very famous museums on the East Coast, and I can't remember if it was in Washington or the New York Natural History Museum, and did most of the backdrops at that facility. And then when he was getting close to retirement, moved back to Minnesota and happened to do the Bell Museum.
When we did a site visit, there were conversations about that, and I hope I'm accurate that they have a plan in place to do it. These are murals on the walls, if I recall.
Yeah,
and I think that's what the plan was to literally move the entire wall. But hopefully that'll work out.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank those of you who worked on this for finding a creative solution to a problem that has plagued us and the university. It's always been such a a tough thing because while they desperately wanted to be able to accomplish this, it was so tough to have it come out of their bonding target. And so I really am grateful for the creative work that went into coming up with this plan. And I'm also grateful that by doing this amendment that it's added to the base and so it doesn't have to come out of the regular budget of the university. So thanks for putting it forward, and I'm pleased to support it.
By saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carried. Senator Cohen,
you may have a second.
Do another amendment.
You have about six.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
I'm finished. With amendments for the night.
There are no further amendments tonight.
I don't have any. There might be others.
Senator Laurie.
I have a couple of amendments that are pretty well worked out. We had, during the presentation of the HHS articles last night, a couple of little bumpier spots, and have been working with stakeholders on a couple of those issues and have some amendments to smooth some of those bumpy areas a little bit.
I heard that there may be an amendment or two to address that, so I think if they could be distributed.
I'd move the A195 amendment.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A195 amendment is to address the cap of 50% of the kids receiving CCAP in the CCAP facility, not being children or dependents or living with employees of that facility. And there was, members may recall, a little bit of nerves about this one. We've been working with technical assistance from the Department of Human Services and have a little bit of a change to this. One of the things that didn't really address some of the cultural sensitivities was the fact that in the original law that was passed, it wasn't just children and dependent children. It was also children who reside with an employee of the child care provider. And that reside with is what really kind of didn't catch some of the cultural issues with Somali communities in particular, where they have clan type living arrangements. And so we have eliminated that piece. So it's now just for children and dependents as legally defined. And that's a big help for these communities. And then we stuck with the 6-month extension, so it would be till January 5th. We stuck with the August 1st notification. We added a clarification about the right to appeal in paragraph E. We also clarified that between the period from August when the notice goes out till the period in January where the payments would stop, the payments made during that piece are not recoverable as improperly made. And we clarified that nothing precludes ongoing fraud investigations. And then as a last piece, we also made a recommendation for culturally appropriate outreach for some recommendations to come out of the existing Cultural and Ethnic Communities Leadership Council on which I serve and Representative Huntley serves, and we'll try to get some advice to the Department of Human Services on how to make sure that they approach this issue in the most culturally appropriate way. And we've worked on this with Representative Kahn and Representative Clark, and again, great technical assistance from the Department of Human Services. And I think we've gotten to a much better place than we were last night. And I really thank everybody for their help and their patience, and would move the A-195 amendment.
Mr. Chairman, the counsel just pointed out to me that procedurally, because we had adopted an amendment last night, that Senator Laurie, you probably should move to reconsider.
Okay.
We'll have to remove that. Yeah.
Yeah, the A-179 amendment.
I move to, having voted on the prevailing side, I move to reconsider the vote by which the A-179 amendment was adopted.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And then I'll remove that motion altogether, and I'll renew my motion on the A-195 amendment.
Okay, that motion is before us. With Representative Kahn, Representative Clark, you've been working on this as well. Do you have any comments?
Well, I'd like to thank Senator Laurie for working with us on this, and also Senator Hayden. And I agree that we have come to a good compromise, and we both supported it. Representative Kahn may want to say something, but I really appreciate it.
I just ditto that.
Very good. Any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. You said you had a couple of amendments.
Yeah, I've also got the A-188 amendment.
Okay, I'm just going to go. What? These.
So the A-188 amendment deals with the HIV/AIDS account that we canceled the state appropriation to, and I've been working on that a great deal with Senator Dibble and many in the HIV community throughout the day to try to address some of the concerns brought up with that. Maybe I'll let Senator Dibble try to explain some of the process we've been through to get to this point.
Okay, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Hayden also was involved in these conversations, Department of Human Services, and members of the community as well. The issue, of course, is maybe I think you had some discussion about this last night when the $2.2 million fiscal year 15 general fund appropriation was basically canceled. The dollars that come in, I mean, it was a rational thing to do because the dollars that come in from the drug rebates came in excess from forecast. But the issue that it raised, and the reason there was so much consternation, is because this was basically canceling a promised payback that had been carried forward for a number of years. It had been a source of a lot of conversation because a $19 to $23 million balance, some call it a surplus, in those AIDS grants funds have been laying around for a number of years, despite a lot of efforts on the part of the community and folks at the Ryan White Services Planning Council to get those dollars deployed and on the streets. There's some argument at the agency that they were trying to hedge against potential shortfalls in future years, but it's thought that $19 million in what is basically a $25 million fund is a lot to carry for a long, long time. And so there's agreement that there should be an effort to really use those funds, maybe provide for a rational reserve, something less, of course, than $19 million, but get those dollars out on the street for AIDS services. And so this, I think this rider just simply says there will be a plan will be developed to do that.
And actually, yeah, Mr. Chair, and actually put many of those monies that have been held in reserve to use to help people suffering with AIDS. I mean, I think it's really a good place to be, and we're going to actually, through this conversation, offer people help that they otherwise wouldn't have received, because this would have just continued to be held in reserve accounts. And so I think this has been also a very helpful and learning experience as well.
Sure.
So I'd like to move the 188 amendment.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor
signify. Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried.
This ended up being very elegantly written.
So. Mr. Chair, I have the A-191 amendment. And what that does is give... I don't think it has been. Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, what this does is send $26,000 to Stearns County so that they can administer funding and set up the funding for a group residential housing services provider that's already in existence in Stearns County. And what this facility does, and its name is Eagle's Nest, and it's specifically for veterans that have chemical dependency problems. And it's a very unusual facility, and they seem to have been very successful in helping these individual veterans adjust to their chemical dependency problems. And so that's what this would do, and it's the structure is very unusual because it's not like a regular group residential housing. The veterans that are there do most of the work in the facility. So they do the cleaning, the cooking, and so on. And it has been very successful. The money comes from the grants to uninsured children, which I think Senator Laurie would tell me he's busy right now, but I think they're getting like 1.7 million. Is that correct, Senator Laurie? The grants to uninsured children is like 1.7 million?
1.725 down to 1.7.
Yeah.
Okay, so the motion that we adopt, the A-191 amendment, is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any further amendments?
Well, and then
Senator, if
you're willing to entertain one that I'm offering for Senator Dibble to bring his article into compliance with a program for victims of domestic abuse and trafficking that was included, but some changes that have been worked out between Senator Dibble and Senator Paymar. Representative Paymar. I'll offer the A-182 amendment.
Okay, is that one to
Dibble described this one.
Okay, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, this is reallocating money within a little sliver of public safety that I have jurisdiction over that I share with Representative Paymar. And he agrees to this language, and it reallocates a little part of the one-time dollars that we devoted to youth intervention programs, adds it to the dollars that we devoted to the domestic abuse services. These are operating dollars with the focus on serving East African women. It makes those, it's a one-time appropriation for 2015, but allows those to be used until 2017. And I worked on this in conjunction with Representative Clark.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I just want to thank Senator Dibble for working with me on this, and Senator Lowry for also offering it. I really appreciate it. I think this makes the program work.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to thank everybody for working on it, because after having met those women, I too was disappointed that we weren't able to do that. So thank you all.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, just to remind you what we did last year and we're doing this year is, and we're the first state that has actually done this kind of thing for these young women that have been trafficked. And we have some money that goes to the Department of Human Services for housing. We have some money that goes to public safety to train police officers on how to deal with this, and we have some money that goes to the Department of Health to provide the various regions of the state with some services to set up these programs around the state. So it's I will say that it was one of the most moving things I've been involved in here is when you have police officers in uniform come in and testify on this kind of thing, it really gets your attention. And the police officers are very concerned about what's happening to these young women.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carried. Any more amendments? Seeing none, Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, so we still have some further work to do. Tomorrow we'll have the environment article, E12 article. We'll have probably some other amendments for consideration. I'd like to suggest we reconvene upon adjournment. Say about 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
That's the time we talked about it. We actually talked about it as early as 8:30, but I think we've done fairly late tonight, so I think people would probably appreciate it. Hey, maybe they would even appreciate something later, but we do have some deadlines we need to meet, so we will reconvene at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning to take up those two articles.
And Mr. Chairman, just one other note. I'm not sure. The Senate's in session at 10. I don't know when the House is in session. The intent would be the conference committee will meet. We won't suspend for session tomorrow.
Did everybody hear that? We may have to overlap some with the session just simply to get our work done. So we're probably
at 5:00. What time are we meeting?
8? 9. 10?
No, it's 9.
It's
9.
Meet at 3.
Not 9:30?
9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Okay.
Go home.
One of those.
No environment.
I know.
Late breaking news.
Boston had the best record overall.
Yeah. It won the
Wow.
Yeah.
For my daughter, I wasn't
there.
Talk to her.
I wouldn't blame her if she took off.
Oh, that's right.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yes. Everyone who's listening to the car, great work.
in the trash.
Tom, thanks for everything.
Have a good night.
I'm trying to just keep this straight for you guys. Okay. Okay. Great. See you. What was your question, Dave?
Back again tomorrow.
Be a message.
No. He was saying, Tom was saying he was going to try and find a vehicle to put on a house file on the floor so that they wouldn't have to wait outside and then they could confirm. Oh, that was the bonding. Oh.
In there, actually.
It's under the papers. But maybe they'll split it. Yeah.
Good morning.
Okay. Yes. Lori,
always a pleasure.
See you. Yeah. Going back up for your out.
I gotta go.
Okay. Bye. Lost your phone?
That's it.
Just, you probably owe me dinner after all the shit I gave you.
Find it. Found it. Good. I was just calling it. He didn't say.
I'll just plan on coming back, but that time frame.
It would be really hard.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the first pictures. Where are you from? Has our leadership been your leadership?
Oh, yes.
And I texted everybody, they're so thrilled. Everybody, I'm just, you're all jumping down and so happy. Yeah, do peace, do peace. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I don't know. Thank you so much for your work on it. I really appreciate it.
I just take care of yourself too. I know. Thank you. Take care. Have a good night. See you tomorrow.
Yeah.